It's the Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Monday, September 20th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Wait a second, isn't this show called Future Tense? Well, it used to be, yes. Now it's Marketplace Tech Report. We're happy to be joining the Marketplace family of programs, and we look forward to continuing to bring you stories about technology and what it means in your life. You can find more about this on our new website, marketplacetech.org. So let's get started. Flu season is just around the corner, and we all want to avoid getting the flu, of course. And some new research may provide some help in identifying a flu epidemic as it starts to spread. Dr. Nicholas Christakis from Harvard University and Dr. James Fowler from the University of California, San Diego, published a study on the subject last week. Here's Dr. Fowler.
Well, we were very interested in being able to use social networks, that's real friendships, real family members, and so on, to be able to predict epidemics. And so we followed about 700 students at Harvard. And what we did is we first of all contacted one group just at random from the population, and we had them name a friend. And then we also followed those people that they named as friends. And what we found was that the friends who are more likely to be close to the center of this real-world social network tended to get the flu sooner during last fall's H1N1 epidemic.
Let's imagine that you had a network and you were trying to imagine who would be more likely to get the flu, people in the middle or people in the edge of the network. Most people have the intuition that people in the middle of the network are going to be more likely to get it. And the challenge is how to identify those people and somehow monitor them. And the part that we try to do in our paper is to take advantage of an old idea known as the friendship paradox, which states that your friends have more friends than you do. That if you take a random group of people and have them nominate their friends, that group of people that they nominate will have more friends and be more central in the network. And if you use this trick, you can find a group of people who are in the middle of the network. And then if you monitor those people, you have a kind of early warning system for the flu, or for all kinds of other things that might be spreading in the network.
Well, maybe it's from hosting a technology show, but when I hear social networks, I think about Facebook and online social networks. What does the hyperconnectivity that comes with social networks mean to your findings?
Well, you obviously don't catch a flu bug over the internet.
The internet is not yet that advanced.
That's right. But what these online social networks do for us is they help us to stay in touch with our real-world friends. And so Barry Wellman, for example, has done research showing that people who use these online social networks, they tend to get together with their friends more often in the real world. And so you have this interplay between online social networks and real-world social networks that could actually help to contribute to the spread of something that spreads offline.
Should we report on Facebook when we have the flu?
If you could actually organize large numbers of people to do that, and if you also had access to the kind of data that Facebook has access to, or other internet providers that are able to map networks, then yes, this could be a very powerful tool. If you could somehow meld a data collection effort with other sort of administrative data that's being collected by what James and I call massive passive technologies, where massive amounts of data are collected passively, if you could meld the two, then I think you would have a set of very powerful tools potentially, not only for epidemiological tracking of the flu, but for all kinds of other phenomena.
And in particular, one of the things that we talked about in the paper is that there's this great technique out there, Google Flu Trends, that allows you to know today what the rate of flu is today. If you combine that with our method and you follow the search behavior of people who are named as friends, you might actually not just be able to get contemporaneous information about the flu, but actually 2 weeks of warning. I mean, really, what we're saying is that these friends are our crystal ball. They help us see into the future.
That's Dr. James Fowler from the University of California, San Diego, and Dr. Nicholas Christakis from Harvard. You can read more about their work and other tech stories at marketplacetech.org. We're also on Twitter at Marketplace Tech. Producer Larissa Anderson is here.
John, on our show, we talk a lot about laptops and smartphones.
Sure.
Well, a new study says crows are getting more advanced with the technology of the stick.
The stick. It's the iPad of crow technology.
The new Caledonian crow has figured out how to use a stick in such a way to get a particular beetle larva out of a particular tree. And this type of crow needs only 3 of these larvae a day for its food supply. It's an efficient way to eat, so it adapts to get really good at the stick.
It's like learning to be a software developer because that's where the high-paying jobs are.
Baby beetles are the hefty paychecks of the crow world.
And crows are the nerds of the animal kingdom.
Got it all figured out.
You can find us on Twitter at Marketplace Tech. This is the Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.